The Kingdom Chronicles is a prophetic adventure into the secrets of the Kingdom of God. The following teaching is by Alan Smith, entitled Lesson 1, The Scribe.
Did anybody see August Rush? Prophetic movie or what? Somebody. Come on. So that's going to be in the background tonight as I'm speaking. And he's going to have it up a little more now to get your ears used to it. Then we're going to pull it back just a little as I go in the teaching. But it's going to be in the background. Now, has everybody got this, The Shack, before I move on? I'll move right along. The Shack by William P. Young, who was a missionary kid. He's raised up in some country somewhere in a mud hut, I heard, or something. And he was just an incredible guy. He came to the States, now has a family. I don't know how many kids. He's got a lot of girls and kids. And he writes things kind of like I do, thoughts and perceptions. He's got a little thing he writes. And his wife said to him, you need to write a book. You need to write a book to the children how you see God. He said, okay. So he wrote this to his children. It's going to hit the bestsellers list. And I've seen him on TV and different things. He's blown away. He said, listen, I got my little web page, and if I'll email you back if you want to email me. Isn't that amazing? Very reachable, very touchable. But this month, we're recommending that book to prophetic people. Are you ready? Now, the format tonight, the teaching will be a little longer than normal because we're not going to have much prophetic time tonight. Normally speaking, I'm probably just going to speak about 30 minutes. Then we're going to get into what I call Kingdom Chronicles. And Kingdom Chronicles is about you hearing from God. My hope, or the mandate that I feel, is that you are going to press in to hear from God like you never have before. The Lord spoke to me and said, Alan, they'll not do it for themselves, but they'll do it for others. You'll not do it for yourself, but you'll do it for others. I've got thousands of pastors wanting to hear from the Lord. Thousands of pastors wanting to hear from the Lord. In this group, if you'll join me, we don't need but two or three. That's all we need is two or three to press into the Lord and hear from the Lord. So what I want you to do is to learn how to journal. You have a little journal there, Steve. What did I do with it? You can go by Staples. Steve got this. Which one did you want me to, Teresa? The red one. Okay. This is a little journal that Steve got at Staples. It's just something that you can write in. Here's another little black one, which is a nice one. Where's Teresa? Teresa, this one's yours. Okay? Teresa gets this nice red journal. And what we want you to do is to spend, it says you're spending time with the Lord, and it can happen through the day. A lot of times I'll carry a piece of paper and pen in my pocket as I'm working. You know, you're doing something, all of a sudden, there it's the Lord. You're like, why did you just interrupt me? I'm really busy. But you got it. Are you with me? When that happens, write it down. And start being sensitive. God bless you. That's from that man right there.
Thank you.
And who else out there says, Alan, it'll be a little hard for me to get a journal in the next few days. I would like to have that one. Just raise your hand. Come on now. There, Miss Angie. So what we want to do with the Kingdom Chronicles, it's about hearing from the Lord. And as we're hearing from the Lord, we're going to journal it. We're going to write it down. I'm going to give you an example tonight from James, a friend of ours from Hickory. So we'll do one or two little things tonight, but then going into next Saturday night, at the end of my little teaching, we're going to have chronicle time, and you'll be able to come up and say, this is what I heard from the Lord this week. Now, I want to share with you more as I'm teaching on how we're going to perform that, how we're going to do it. Then I'm going to take everything that's given, and I'm going to write it and throw it together and compile it into a chronicle. Then it'll go out on the internet in the next few days after that. So we're trying to hear from the Lord. Listen, this is real stuff. I didn't speak much or anything for over a year. I just was with the Lord, wasn't I, Steve? I canceled everything. I didn't do anything. Trying to seek the Lord. Ask Sabrina. I helped Sabrina in Central America and things, and she felt like I abandoned her. But it's just like the Lord said, no, Alan, you just got to stay away for a while. So this is what the Lord's given me. This is real. But it won't work unless you feel a witness in here. And unless you can engage with me. If you feel a witness of it, the Lord's waiting to hear from you. And then you will hear from Him. Now, let's start. Tonight will be just a little longer than normal. But it won't be that long. Now, the Kingdom Chronicles. Yes, no. Now, 1 Chronicles. Where did this idea come from? 1 Chronicles is the first words. You know, you got 1 and 2 Chronicles. You got Samuel. You got 1, 2 Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, Ezra, and then Nehemiah. All of those right in there talking about Israel coming out of captivity. Now, do you know what? This is interesting to me. In the Hebrew text, the first words in Chronicles is not Chronicles. That was an English word that was given to the book. Here is the first words. Here is the name of that Hebrew text. The words of the days. Isn't that amazing? Chronicles' title is the word of the days. So what we're looking for is the word of the days through God's people. Now listen, I am all for the Bible, for what we've gotten. But Jesus didn't send the Holy Spirit for nothing. Can you not tell churches we're lacking something? We're lacking somewhere. We're lacking. Something's missing. Could it be the active voice of the Holy Spirit of the living God? Could it be that God's wanting to speak to us today in a right now time, right now, about a particular circumstance, situation? Could it be? Could it be that Christianity is to be alive? Could it be that Christianity is real? Could it be that heaven has already started? Come on, somebody. Could it be? Chronicles. It's called the words of the days. Now, they were written by who? Now, you're going to be students in here. It was written by who? By who? Ezra. And Ezra was called what? A scribe. I want to show you something that's really cool. Can you hang with me? It's really cool. Ezra was a scribe that wrote the words of the days. Historically, the scribe was also called what? The what? The chronicler. I can't hardly say it either. The what? The chronicler. That's what it was called historically. The purpose was twofold. Now watch this one. To tell the people about what? God's ways and about worship. Ezra wrote 1 and 2 Chronicles. Israel coming out of captivity. You know the story. Nebuchadnezzar come in, destroys Jerusalem, gets all the gold and everything out of the temple, takes Jerusalem back to Babylon, took the Israelites back to Babylon. Then what happened? They were there for 70 years. Something else happened. Medes and Persia come in and destroy Babylon. Cyrus is made the king, and he sets the Jews free to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild their city. You remember the book of Nehemiah? It was about rebuilding what? About rebuilding the walls. But did you know the temple was rebuilt first? As soon as they came out of captivity, they went back into Jerusalem and started rebuilding the temple. After they rebuilt the temple, then Nehemiah comes on the scene and he brings some more Jews back. He says, okay, the temple's been rebuilt, but now let's rebuild the city and the walls. So the story about Nehemiah is after the temple. So Ezra wrote 1 and 2 Chronicles about the lineage of the people and what everybody was to do in temple worship and about the administration of God's ways, I guess is what you'd call it. Now, so the purpose was to tell the people about what? God's ways with emphasis on worship. So as we, our New Testament chroniclers, what are we going to do? We're going to tell people about God's way, and our emphasis is going to be on
worship.
Isn't that amazing? Now, their worship that they did was the book of Psalms. That was their worship book, was the book of Psalms. So, 1 Chronicles is more about David. 2 Chronicles is more about Solomon. David was what? Worship. Solomon was the temple. Temple and worship. Now, let's move along. the Chronicle wrote to help the people of God in a new situation. They just come out of captivity and they were free. Now here's what I feel like the Lord has shown me. This is where the church of Jesus Christ is today. We have been set free from captivity, but we won't leave Babylon. We're free, but we won't leave Babylon. We're free, but we won't leave. So we can go. The mission, the mandate of this group is to call the people of God out of Babylon into Jerusalem. It's going to be a heavenly Jerusalem. I'm believing I'm going to meet the heavenly one as we're gathering them up, as we're giving them the word of the Lord. It's about the temple and it's about worship. Can you understand why worship and the cadence and the sounds, it stirs something in the spirit? It keeps it going. There again, if you could see your spirit in the heavens, it would be notes of music. I'll get into that later. Now, the other reason the Chronicle wrote, it was to restore what? Community. To tell about restoring what? The temple, and to restore worship. The music's all around you. Now, to help answer the following questions, watch this one. The Chronicle wrote to help answer the following questions. Is God still interested in us? Now, people all over the earth are asking themselves that question. You are probably asking yourself that question. What's the next one? Are His covenants still in force? Will He speak into our circumstances? So that's the reason the Chronicler wrote. That was the purpose that Ezra was doing, what he was doing. Israel, set free. They had it. They liked it so much in Babylon, they would not walk into the promises of God. The church is in Babylon asking for the promises of God. No way, Jose. We've got to leave Babylon. We're free. But it means we've got to walk in faith. We've got to walk somewhere we hadn't been. Matter of fact, you're going to walk back into something that's been destroyed. I'll get into that one. Now here's the legacy that was hidden. In the Chronicle teachings, I'm going to teach you how you read symbols. Everything's symbolic. When I say to you, there is a tree swaying in the wind, all of a sudden, you had an image. You had an image in your mind. That image was of a tree. So words equal imagery. Right? How does the Holy Spirit... Here's what the Holy Spirit will do. It'll give you imagery and then you'll put words to it. Do you want to learn that one? It's the symbols of the Spirit. He'll give you imagery, then you'll put words to it. Because it's coming from the inside out. Now, symbols are a language that help us understand the present by creating what? Now, it looks like it's running backwards, doesn't it? If you'll notice that. Symbols are a language that help us understand the present by creating a past. Jesus died on the cross. Symbolically, we take what? Communion. You got to understand something. God was more after you taking communion than He was Jesus dying on the cross. But Jesus had to die on the cross for you to take communion. Come on now. Listen, there's more going on in these symbols than you know. You've got to read the symbols. We're going to get into that. The Bible has within its hidden messages a code that can only be revealed by who? Holy Spirit. It's secret. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 3, he says that this mystery has now been revealed. Some translations say this secret. The Bible is full of spiritual secrets that it can only be decoded by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Have you had that one happen to you? Do you want to see more of it? Now, the legacy that was left to Israel was the rebuilding of the temple and its holy service of worship, which was the Psalms. The legacy that is left to us is what? Read it with me, please. The rebuilding of our lives, the temple. So we will worship Him in spirit and in truth and with what? And with power. So you've got to understand, symbolically, Israel coming out of Babylon. Temple, where's the temple today? Where is it? We know today that what? We are the temple of God. And what will happen? Will we worship Him is the question. Say, Alan, why are we jumping around? Listen, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing. You say, Alan, I can't jump. You don't have to jump. Just get into a cadence with us. That's all I'm asking. Just get into that spiritual vibration. Do you feel that music? And what happens is if you fight it, it kills our unity. If you try to find it, you'll feel your body come at peace. Say, well, Alan, I don't know if I like that. Well, just try it. You'll come into a case. It's called the things of the Spirit. I'll show you. We will we'll rewrite of the rebuilding of our temples and how we worship. It is my prayer. I believe it's a mandate of God that we all worship God in 2008 different than we did in 2007. That we are willing to be stretched by the power of the Holy Spirit, by revelation into our hearts, that we will worship God. That is more than just music in here. You're worshiping with your life. It's daily. It's having a piece of paper in your pocket. Having a piece of paper and a pen in your pocket. And when the Holy Ghost, you're so in tune in worship with God through the day that He speaks something to you. I've noticed how God's timing is so bad. Have you noticed that too? You know what I'm saying? I mean, last week I was right in the middle of being a real good jerk. And the Holy Ghost spoke. Isn't that amazing? Bless his heart, my son Joe, he's the blunt of most of it. I work with my son. And he gets the blunt of most of my missing God moments. Thank the Lord, He gave him a lot of grace. That's all I can tell him. Now, about the Kingdom Chronicles, let's watch it. We will be asking the Spirit of the Lord to speak to us concerning things. Now watch this one. Personally, locally, regionally, nationally, and what? Internationally. Now when you come up and give your chronicle or as you're journaling, that will be your categories. Now I'm going to pass out a piece of paper. You know all of these slides and these notes? I'm going to put them in your hands when you leave. So don't feel like you got to write down everything. But I wasn't going to give them to you beforehand because I knew you'd be looking at them. So don't worry about it. I'm going to give them to you. But here's what you're going to do. When you're writing down what you're hearing the Lord, you're going to hear some things personally. Well, those things will not reveal here. Is that all right? I don't need to hear it, and you don't need to tell it. Locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally. Now, we're going to seek first for international words. You say, Alan, why? It looks like we need to go local. No. You got to go way out there, and then you work your way back. If you start here, you can't get out of your soul. Are you with me? You got to get in the Spirit. To get in the Spirit, you got to leave your homeland. You got to leave where you are. You get the international stuff first, and you write it down. Then you'll get national stuff. Then you'll get local stuff, or regional stuff, then you'll get local stuff. But local stuff is last. Now you might say, Alan, I'm not getting anything international, national. That's okay. I'm just asking you to reach out there first. If you go on our webpage, which is www.spchristianpub.org. The reason I'm saying this is because this video will be going all over. If you go there, you can go to our directory. Under that directory, there's all of these preachers and churches and ministries, and you just pick you one because they're there, and they're signing up at a rate of 10 to 20 a week. 10 to 20 a week. We have what we've got, what we're calling this the Kingdom Chronicles, but I've created a society. It's called the Kingdom Prophetic Society. So if you go on the webpage and sign up or give us your name on that one of those little cards, you'll be a member of the Kingdom Prophetic Society. That means that you need to, when you come here, I want you to be a member of the society before you speak into a chronicle that will be going out. You can say, is that okay? I just want us to be in a unity of that. And when we speak into that, you can go to the webpage, you can see there's different ministries everywhere. Just go through it and pray for them. The Lord might give you one. Might be in Kenya. Might be, Sabrina's got, how many churches there, Sabrina? 60? 70? Something. In Central America. We'll put them there if you would like. And you just pick a pastor, and we'll pray for them, and see what the Lord gives us. Is that okay? I'm going to put you to work. I'll pick on my son, Joe. I was talking to his wife, Jessica, my two daughters, Amber and Jesse, one day on the back porch after Sunday lunch. And we were sitting there, and I was talking to him, and Joe walked in. Do you remember this, Jessica? Joe walked in back there where we were, and he went like this. And his wife said, "Joe, where are you going?" He said, "Dad's talking. It just means more work." Listen, I want to put you to work. I want to put you to work. I want you to help the kingdom of God. We're going to have a way to do that. Now, you saw how we're going to do that, correct? We're going to do it how? What's the furthest? International, national, regional, local, and personal. I'm going to show it to you in Scripture. Acts 1, 7, 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be what? My witness where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and what? The ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses as what? Personal. Jerusalem's what? Local. Judea, regional. Samaria, national. Ends of the earth, international. It's the Great Commission. What I'm asking you to do is to answer the call of the Great Commission. You can touch the ends of the earth. That's what I'm asking. Now, secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is one thing that Jesus speaks about. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have even that, what he has will be what? Taken away. That doesn't make sense, does it? Things of the kingdom. It's a mystery. It's a secret. You have something. What's happening? Why did God say that? Let me give you the interpretation of that scripture. It's like building muscle. What happens when you use it? It gets stronger. Listen, there's prophetic people sitting out here today. Your gift has gotten weak because you're not using it. You say, "God's not speaking that." You're not using it. I'm giving you a platform to use it. The more you use it, the more God will give you. If you quit using it, you're going to lose it. Is that okay? Say, "Alan, I appreciate that. Thank you very much." Okay. We don't want to do that. The secret of the scribe is revealed. Then said he unto them, "Therefore every what? Scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, builder, which bringeth forth out of his treasures things that are what? Old and new." Ezra was called a scribe. Matthew 13 has 8 parables in it. The 8th parable speaks about a scribe. I wanted to declare tonight that this is the day of the scribe. This is the time. It's the 8th parable of Matthew 13. Here it is, the day of the scribe. The parable of the scribe is the last of the 8 parables of Matthew 13 about the secrets of the kingdom. It's parallel with Ezra, the scribe of Chronicles. The sower is the first parable. Wheat and tares, second. The mustard seed, third. Leaven, fourth. Buried treasure was the 5th. The 6th was a pearl of great price. The 7th was about the net. And the 8th was about what? The scribe. Matthew 13 is a prophetic scribe that tells you the condition of the church that you now see. 1st, 2nd Chronicles tells you a symbol of the church coming out of captivity but wants to stay in Babylon. Parallel. Matthew 13, New Testament church. What does it look like? Another parallel, Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. What does the church look like? I just fell out. Let's look at it again. The first 7 parables are what? They're in 2 sections. The first 4 parables are about the church and the world. What you can expect to see. Now, as you're seeking God, look at me a minute. As you're seeking God on how to pray for these churches and for people, you need to study Matthew 13. The first 4 parables are about the church where? In the world. This shows what the local church will look like. The next 3 parables tell about what God is doing and has done about the church from a heavenly viewpoint. So if you want to know what God's doing about the church, you read the next 3 parables. You remember the pearl of great price? You remember the treasure in the field? There was a man, he sold out all that he had and he bought the field. Who's the treasure? You remember that one? The pearl of great price. Sold all that he had. I've heard it preached that Jesus was the pearl of great price. No. You are the pearl of great price. Jesus gave all that he had and he purchased you. So as we're writing a chronicle, we're doing it in light of Matthew 13, just like Ezra did in light of 1st and 2nd Chronicles. What is our attitude? What are we hearing? First four parables about the church and the world. What would it look like? A sower came to sow. The evil one comes and takes it away if your heart's not right. The wheat and the tares. You remember that one? That's what the church is going to look like. Don't get upset when there's wheat and tares. Jesus said, the Bible's true. It looks just like he said. The leaven and the lump. Same thing. Now, so you can study this one. Now, it will look like Satan is winning, but he is not. The eighth parable deals with our responsibility of response to the first seven parables. Now, the eighth and the last parable, what does number eight mean? Come on, somebody. New beginnings. Why is described the eighth parable? Because we are to write about new beginnings. We're to tell people about what God's going to do for them, what he wants to do for them. The Chronicle wrote about, with Israel, about a new beginning. A new beginning. It speaks about, the last parable speaks about who? A scribe. The scribe is what? The first thing it says is that he is instructed. Now here's the word, and for the sake of time, what time is it? 8 o'clock, I got a little bit. It speaks about a scribe. The scribe is instructed. Now what is a scribe? He is to become a what? A pupil to disciple, enroll as a scholar. Do you like that one? Did you ever want to be one? Well, if you're here tonight, you've enrolled to be one. That's what a scribe is. I'm to tell you that you have enrolled tonight to be one of them things right up there. I don't know how that'll go over in Kenya, but it's just a southern boy talking. We're to come become a pupil in here, and we want to be a disciple of the Holy Spirit of God, and we are enrolling as a scholar. That's the first thing that describes a scribe. The next word is what? Kingdom. That's the key word. Next key word is kingdom. What is that? It's a realm. Huh. It's a realm of a kingdom to reign. So the first thing we're going to do is be instructed to be a disciple. And what else was it? What was it? A scholar. We're going to be a disciple and a scholar. And we're going to learn how to operate in the realm of the kingdom. And as we learn to do that, we're going to reign there. Come on, somebody. As a scholar, as a scribe, you've got to learn how to reign there. How are we going to write about others reigning there if we're not learning how to reign there? Are you still wanting to go with me on this journey? Listen, money back guarantee. It'll take you somewhere. Next key word is what? Heaven. It says this. What is heaven? By implication, it's happiness, power, eternity, specifically the what? The gospel of Christianity. Let's go to the next one. Next key word in that verse of Matthew 13, 52 is treasure. It speaks about a deposit, a wealth. Do you see that? Next key word is things that are new. What's new to you? It's creativity. Now listen, people of God, we are not creative enough. We're sitting back, taking old stuff, old seed, what the world gives us, and not what God's got for us. So you've got to change your perceptions of how we see things if we want to hear from God. Now here's the word. Here's what it means. It means freshness. That word new in Matthew 13, 52 means freshness. So we're going to be a scholar. We're going to learn new things. We're going to be instructed. We're going to be a pupil. We're going to be a disciple. We're going to know about heaven. We're going to know fresh things from heaven. Isn't that amazing? Now, the last one is old. What does old mean? Antique, not recent, what? Worn out. It says that the scribe's going to, Matthew 8, 13, 52, 8th parable says, scribe's going to reach into a satchel and pull out things that are new and old. Well, you don't need new unless it's replacing old. You got to know what the old is. Now, I'm going to show you how it works. Here's the secret revealed. Now, here's what I did. I made a chronicle out of those descriptive terms. This is what we'll do. I'm just going to show you how it works. What a scribe is. And then I just compiled the thoughts and I wrote it. Here's the way a scribe looks to me in a chronicle. A scribe is a disciple. Now, I underlined all the words that were used. When we compile all these writings, we'll compile everybody's thoughts and what you're hearing. Watch it. A scribe is a disciple who enrolls himself or herself to become a scholar in the things of the kingdom. Their life reflects one who will rule and reign in the realm of the kingdom. Their source is the abode of God, which is heaven. The reflection of their faith is happiness, which is what? Where the power for the eternity is hidden. Come on. Their treasures are not of this world, but are found within. Their treasures of wealth have been deposited in their hearts by the very hand of God. They are open to new and fresh perceptions. They recognize the need for disposing of things that are old and worn out to make room for the freshness of the creating God. Now, I just made a chronicle out of those words. Could you feel anything on it? Don't blow smoke at me. Can you feel it? We'll put it together in a chronicle, in a word of the Holy Spirit. This is who either you are or who you can be. You're going to be doing that for eternity. Can I move on? Am I boring you? Can we keep going? Okay. How do we get there? This is important. How do we get there? I'm going to say a few things you maybe can feel a witness to. By being truthful and honest with ourselves and with who? And with God. Do a lot of things in your life seem old and heavy to you today? Does it seem like the same old things, like you are not moving forward in life, and when you do move forward, does it seem like you are just repeating yourself? Anybody got a witness? Is there no freshness for your soul? Do many things in your life seem to be outdated and stale? I believe that we are in a transitional time, a time when things are shifting, a time of leaving the old so we can go to the newness of God, revelations, and provisions. I believe people's lives, jobs, and ministries are in one of the greatest transitions ever. Do you feel a witness, anybody? People are becoming very unsatisfied with the status quo. The things that once had great life to them are now dead at best. We got to identify those things that are old. We want to revive them, but we can't seem to get by the stench of the deadness that prevails with them. Have I got a witness? Perhaps we are trying to sustain our lives on dead memories of victories and failures in the past instead of moving ahead with the fresh revelation of truth for the moment and for the future. Why does this happen, you might ask? I believe we tend to be very lazy in our abilities to hear God when He is moving us forward in our lives. We tend to get very comfortable with the person we have become instead of becoming the person we have been created to be. Is anybody here ready to die yet? Listen, you have not fulfilled the fullness of your creation. Does anybody feel a witness on that one? Now listen to me. There's people all over the globe who feels the same way. The only thing I'm telling you, after tonight, you don't have an excuse for that anymore. Because you can come here on Saturday nights, I don't care. We're going to seek God. We're going to push out to hear a freshness of Him. Therefore, the Lord will call us to move forward in this journey of life. Since we will not move forward on our own, He will have the manna of yesterday grow old. So we will seek the new manna for today. Yesterday's manna becomes spoiled under the heat of today. You feel a witness? If you can feel the heat of your old manna rotting, the only thing I can do is tell you, give God the credit. He wants you to be dissatisfied. It was for yesterday. Don't blame your church. Don't blame someone else. It was God all the time. He's trying to push you forward. Listen, a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, has to live in the moment of the freshness of the newness of every day. You've got to have a weak memory. and a tremendous vision for the future. We find ourselves needing something fresh and new to satisfy the hunger of our souls. We are hungry, but yet we will not move forward into the newness of life to which God is calling us. How do we walk into this new place of provision and destiny? I believe a just getting by attitude will no longer get it. Has anybody been settling for that one? You don't have to. The bar has been raised, and what worked before will not work now. We're not trying to duplicate anything here. I'm looking for something for fresh, something that's new. I want to be like that music. I want it to be stirring. I want to be on the go. I want it to be moving. But if you're not moving with me, we're not going anywhere. Now, our present attitudes brought us to where we are now, but they will not take us where we need to go. You missed a wonderful opportunity to say glory, hallelujah, amen. Will you read it with me, perhaps? Our present attitudes brought us to where we are now, but they will not take us where we need to go. So if you just heard that, you just heard, I want your attitude to change. Are you up for that? Will you let the Holy Spirit of God change your attitude? I jumped and danced in front of you. I had to change something in me. I said, oh, God, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm too old. He said, no, you do it. I said, okay, God, I'll do it. I'll do anything you want me to do, God. So we've got to change our attitudes. You say, well, Alan, I can't do that. Well, the only thing I can tell you is you need exercise this week. Come on. The Lord's already told some of you to do it. You're not doing it. Right? Right? Because He wants you to help you worship Him some ways you're not used to. Now, our attitudes of selfishness and defeat only bring with them sadness and despair. I'm almost finished, but watch this. Our attitudes are like what? Like a rudder to a ship. The ship will end up where the rudder is steering it. So whatever your attitude is, listen, Satan himself cannot turn your rudder of life, but he can get a hold of your attitude. Your attitude's your rudder. He'll cause you to turn here a little, turn there a little, and you'll head up and you'll end up somewhere you didn't mean to go. All because you're stinking thinking. Stinking thinking's got to go if we want to hear from the Holy Spirit of God. Do you want your life to end up in the land that matches your attitude? Y'all want to read that one together or you want me to move on? That's some kind of a thought there. Look at it. Do you want your life to end up in the land that matches your attitude? Is your attitude right now one of defeat, despair, nothing's going right? Listen, quit saying that stuff. You're a prophetic people. It's a rudder. It's an attitude. You will end up there. And then your pride says, well, I knew I was right all the time, that they weren't going to like me. I was going to be broke. And everything in my life was going to be to hell in a handbag. I knew it. I even prophesied it 30 days ago. And for some dumb reason, we're proud of it. Is that not amazing? You got to change your rudder. You got to change where you're headed, and it will determine where you're going to end up. It's your attitude. I hope that something that I've said tonight sparks something in your attitude. I think it is. I think we can. I think we can. If you feel a witness down in here, it's the Holy Spirit of God saying there's something in you that's creative. God's a creating God. Did you know tomorrow has not been created yet? Thank you very much. Tomorrow is waiting to be created. It hasn't been created yet, but it's waiting to be. Change your attitude. When you wake up in the morning, what are you going to say to God? Okay, God, what are we going to create today? You say, Alan, I don't believe it. Well, you need to. It'll change your life. Think about this for just a moment. What if the rudder of the ship changed directions? What if the ship of your life started heading to a land which matches an attitude of victory and thankfulness? To be in victory land, what a wonderful thought. This is the way to start your new voyage. Your thoughts are the place of what? What? If you want to end up somewhere different, you got to start thinking different. Your thoughts are these beginnings. But you see, what happens to us, we want to defend our thoughts. We get our identity in what we're thinking. That's pride. I'm so sick of me thinking. My thinking, it hasn't ever profited much. But the ways of God prophesies to me life and it eternal. Eternal life has already begun in me. I'm not waiting for it any longer. Perhaps we could be like the scribe in Matthew 13:52, and bring out of our treasure things that are new and old. The Greek word for new in this passage of Matthew 52 means something that is fresh. The Greek word for old means something that is worn out. The Greek word for treasure means wealth. Proverbs says this about wealth: humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. What if you become your own scribe today and write your own prophetic future? I believe that God has already placed in the heart of every believer their treasure from heaven. Let's all of us be a scribe for a moment. Join me as we write our futures. Steve, if you would, pass out those papers. Are you with me? Can you feel a witness? We're going to pass out these papers. These are notes of what I just did, but on the last page is this prayer. On the last page is this prayer. If you have agreed with what I've said tonight, if you want to be part of this, I want us to pray this prayer together. We're not finished yet, because I'm going to have one person share what a chronicle sounds like. Now, I'm going to read through it first, and you can read along with me before you sign it. I don't want you to sign anything, because I'm going to be honest with you. This prayer was done under the impression of the Holy Spirit. Now, I told you that symbols mean things. This is symbolic. You don't have to sign it tonight. Don't feel like you have to, because you don't. But if you'd like to tonight, if you'd like to take it home and pray about it, that's fine. It's just between you and God anyway. We're not taking them up. It's not a test. I want to read it. And then you'll fill in the blank. Write this day that I agree with the treasure of God's kingdom that is within me. I thank you, Lord, for this inheritance of your kingdom. I call forth out of this treasure things that are old and worn out, and things that are new and fresh. I call forth the fresh things of God's provisions to replace the worn out things of my life. I call forth humility and the fear of the Lord in my life, and in turn, that will bring wealth and honor and life. I write this day that I will be a good householder of the kingdom of God. I will keep my spiritual house clean and ready for revelations of this treasure that you have already put within me. I write this day that I am thankful for the treasure of salvation and all of the spiritual wealth that I have inherited from my Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I write this day that I am a child of the Most High God. Thank you, God. Now, if you'd like to sign that, I want you to sign your name to it now. I'm going to ask James Benfield, if he would come up. He journals. He writes down things that he hears the Lord say. I'm going to let him read something. He'll tell you what he does. He writes down the dates and a few things, and he'll share here in just a moment. This is how he journals. Now, everybody can journal different. I just encourage you to get you a book, a journal. I do it in two stages. I'll have a scratch pad, and then I'll write it into my journal. When I have things I want to write in my journal that I've got a few special things I write in. I've actually got a fountain pen, the type of pen that you put ink in, and I've just got one special journal it's just specific things I put in. Then I've got a daily journal. Then you got didn't have your scratch pad. But James, share with us what the God's given you as an example. Music down just a little.
First off, when you came, and I don't know why God had me open it up, but it's an old journal, and I was just sitting there and hadn't even read it or anything. And you said you wanted me to share something that I had journaled 2 years ago. And there's a couple more in here, and I said, well, God, what do you want me to do? And he said, start writing. So when I give you this word, it's right along with what you spoke.
Good.
What I do is, I'm just stupid, you know. I think that if you try to be intelligent, you're going to miss God. Because you remember, he takes the base things of the world. He don't take the intelligent. If you try to come at him with common sense, you're going to miss him altogether. And so I just start writing. But what I do is I put the date, March 22nd, 2008. And if you'll look at that time, it's 6:52 p.m. And the Kingdom Chronicles, I write where I was at. It says, I'm going to go ahead and give it to you. Hunger, do you really hunger for me? Am I your heart's desire? You must forsake all others but me. You don't have to jump through hoops or do anything, but come after me with your whole being. I need you to do the works that I did on earth. There's no other way to get the kingdom shared. The world has lost its balance. The only way to steady it is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. The only way in this sphere to do that is through you. Your prayers, your witnessing, when my spirit tells you to, your daily lives. Please open your eyes to the fields of your everyday life. They're so white, ready for harvest. I know you will be out of your comfort zone. You hadn't even mentioned comfort zone yet. So, I know you'll be out of your comfort zone. So was I when I came to earth. Remember, he was a king. The kingdom is not about comfort. It's about action. Your destiny is in your daily walk. Please, again, don't miss the opportunities I'm putting before you each day. There is great warfare behind the scenes of every divine appointment I'm sending to you. I was always about the Father's business. I need you to be about it now.
Amen.
All this, it's just going to happen. If you want to hear from God, He will talk to you.
That's right.
If you don't want to hear from Him, then He's not going to talk to you. But you just have to, you know, those random thoughts are not random thoughts. That's called profit sharing.
That's right.
They're not random.
That's right.
Because we are spirits. Once you understand that you are a spirit and you happen to live in His flesh, He'll talk to you.
Amen. You are not your body. You just live in one.
You can say, well, Alan, I can't write like that. I'm not asking you to. We're just asking you to write down what the Lord gives you. You could say, Alan, I've never written. I can't even spell well. It just so happens it's spirit. Doesn't make any difference. If you understand it, it's all that matters. So here's what I'm asking you to do starting next week is if you'll journal down what you're hearing the Lord say. What are our places? Internationally, nationally, regionally, locally, and personally. Anything that you submit here, I need you to have it written down so you can give me a copy. Because I don't want to have to take a tape and longhand everything. If you can type it out on a computer or whatever, that's fine. If it's longhand, that's fine. Just give me a basic. It doesn't have to be everything that you're going to say, but just give me the meat of what you're trying to say. And you give that to me. And we'll see if we can do this thing. Is that okay? Everybody with me? You love me? I love you too. So let's see if we can hear from the Lord.